leaves Nazareth and goes to the Jordan. And very intriguing study. I spent a lot of time this week looking at that, but I felt that I needed a little bit more study on that for another week. Just so much there. And so I went to the Lord and said, God, would you have me to do something else or try to do this? And he said, go somewhere else. And so we're doing that. You continue to look forward to studying the baptism of Jesus Christ. And then immediately after that, the temptations in the wilderness. A lot of neat things, a lot of good applications for it. So we'll do it as soon as the Lord allows us to. But James chapter 3, I'm going to ask you to turn there. And I believe God has something for us that we need tonight. And I want to encourage you to do like we do on Sunday mornings. And that's take a moment to say, God, would you give me this evening what I need? And no doubt God has something for you. I don't know. You know, I might ask you this evening, do you have a problem with your tongue? And you might say, yes, I do. I struggle with saying things that I ought not say. I sometimes, you know, open my mouth and I shouldn't and I regret it. Maybe some of you would say, no, I don't have a problem with my tongue. You know, to every good thing that God has given to us, Satan has so attempted to twist it around for something bad. Isn't that true? Every single thing that God gives us for good, for His honor, for His glory, Satan is the twister. He is the deceiver. And his goal is to try to twist the truth and turn it into something bad. That's the devil. This is Satan's work. Twisting the good, twisting the truth into the bad, into lies. The Bible teaches that he's the father of all lies. You know, Satan is the father of all twists. Satan is the father of taking any truth and turning it around so that it appears bad or that we use it for bad. Tonight I'd like to preach to you about on the topic of the tongue. And I want us to first look at the purposes of the tongue in James chapter 3. And I'm going to draw your attention. You're probably very familiar with the chapter, this chapter that talks about the tongue. And really the whole chapter is about the tongue, even closer to the end when he introduces about in verse 13, the wise man who's endued with knowledge and the conversation is still continuing on with the tongue, I believe, just in a different way. So this passage is on the tongue, but we're going to look at the first part. First, the purpose. You know, as I mentioned, Satan loves to turn the truth. Well, what's the truth about the tongue? And when I say the tongue, we can talk about the mouth, the lips. Proverbs speak about the mouth and the lips a lot, not necessarily the tongue. But I tell you and submit to you that they're one and the same thing in what we're talking about here. Using our lips, using our tongues, using our mouth. The things that we say. Oh, we are a needy people that need what James has to teach us about the tongue. I want to encourage you to really pay attention because it's something very little, as James describes, but it's something so big and powerful and destructive if we don't use it in the right way. So James chapter 3, first of all, let's look at the purpose. I draw your attention, we're not going to read the whole passage, but I draw your attention to verse 10. Assuming that you understand the passage about the tongue and how important, how big it is. You know, maybe I ought not to assume. Let's start in verse 1. I think the Lord just prompted me to, let's read the passage. I'm going to try to do it quick. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I think I'll probably read to verse 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain. Both yield salt water and fresh. I want to draw your attention to verses 10 and 11 for the purpose. And it's just kind of alluded to. What's the purpose of the tongue? Notice he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth, what's the first word? Blessing. What can we conclude from this passage that the tongue is intended to give out? Blessing. And then there's the negative and cursing. No, it's not both. It's one or the other. And the one that it's supposed to be is blessing. So we see that one of the purposes of using our mouths, our tongues, is blessing. Look at verse 11. He says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water or bitter? The words that are being used here are words that describe blessing and praise. Blessing and praise. Positive words from our mouth. Folks, the purpose of our tongues is praise, blessing, and we could add into that truth, all for the glory of God. That is the purpose of our tongues. Let me say that again. I want you to think through that. The purpose of our tongues, our mouths, our lips that God has given to us, and God has given them to us, and they're not our own. We just recently learned that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Our bodies are not our own. What's part of our body that we're talking about here? Our tongues, our mouth, our lips, they're not our own. Listen, we have been given stewardship. We've been given the opportunity to be that manager of God's possession, and God's possession is our mouth, our tongue, our lips. Okay, so this is not mine. I'm just managing it. I'm just taking God's possessions and doing the very, very best that I can with it so that it produces fruit for Him. That's the purpose. The purpose is for our mouth to praise God, to bless God and others, and to give out the truth. Again, for the glory of God. Let's take our Bibles and look at a number of passages of Scripture that I want you to see about the purpose of the tongue. Let's start in the book of Psalms. Psalm talks about the tongue so much. Go to chapter 34 quickly. And we're going to turn, again, very many passages right away in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, maybe a few other passages in between. But let's go through what Psalm tells us a little bit. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What's one of the main purposes of our tongue? Praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in our mouths. That's what God gave us a mouth and a tongue for. To praise God, to bless. I will bless the Lord. How often? At all times. God wants us to use our mouths to praise Him. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 15, a psalm of David and his confession of his sin. At the end of that confession, he's still talking with the Lord. And he says, O Lord, Psalm 51, 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. What is David saying here? God, open my mouth for what purpose? To praise your name. You see, God gave you a mouth for what purpose? To praise God, to bless God. Praise and blessing. Psalm 71 and verse 8. Let my mouth be filled, that's to be consumed to 100%. Let my mouth be filled to the brim with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Do you see some exclusive words that are given here? It's all the day. It's continually. It's never ending. It's never supposed to stop. We're seeing here that this is the purpose in which God has given to us our mouths, our tongues, our lips. Let thy mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Psalm 109 in verse 30. I only took a few examples to share with you this evening about the purpose of the tongue. Psalm 109 and verse 30. I will greatly, there's another big word, I will greatly, it's not minimal, it's not just a little bit, it's not just every once in a while. No, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. God wants and gave us his mouth and tongue and lips so that we would praise God. Psalm 145, verse 21. Psalm 145 and verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So we notice that our tongues, our mouth, our lips are given to us for praise to God. Let's look at the book of Proverbs and turn to a couple passages there. Start with Proverbs chapter 10, and I do have these in order so that you can go forward. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. This gets a little bit more descriptive now of that praise. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. You see, it's beyond just that blessing now. It's taking that blessing to the Lord, but it's also allowing others to benefit from it. The blessing, or the lips of the righteous feed many. Also in chapter 10, and verse let's look at verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Here you see a watching of the lips and the things that come out of that. Oh, there's only acceptable things coming out of our mouths. Oh, let's go to chapter 12, and let's look at the end of verse 18. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, the end of the verse, Proverbs 12, 18, the tongue of the wise is health. You see, it's a healthful thing. We're seeing positiveness that's supposed to come out of our mouths, our lips, our tongues. It's supposed to feed people. It's supposed to be acceptable. It's supposed to be health. Proverbs chapter 15, the first part of verse 4, says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's supposed to help give other people life. It's a tree of life. That's the wholesome tongue. This is using the tongue the way God has intended to us. God gave every one of us Christians a mouth, a tongue, lips, for his honor, for his glory, for praise, to be a blessing to other people, to feed them, to be acceptable, to be health, to be the tree of life. And also in verse 7 of Proverbs 15, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. It's to give out knowledge. This is what God gave us our mouth for. We're getting a picture of the purpose of our words. And then in chapter 18 and verse 21, we'll come back to this verse. Death and the word I wanted to focus on right now is life. They're in the power of the tongue. We're going to see how the tongue is such an important element. Life is in the power of the tongue. We'll look at death, but life is in the power of the tongue. And this is the purpose in which God gave us our tongues. I told you that I was going to go in order, but let me just read this one to you. Proverbs 8, if I could go back. For my mouth, this is Proverbs 8, 7. For my mouth shall speak truth. I wanted to give you some verses on truth as well. Yes, we're supposed to bless. Yes, we're supposed to praise. Yes, we're supposed to edify. And yes, we're supposed to give out truth. Truth with our tongue. He says in Proverbs 8, 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, in the first part of that verse. Zechariah 8, 16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Lastly, Ephesians 4, 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Folks, the purpose of our mouths, our tongues, our lips is praise, worship, blessing. This is his purpose. His designation for your mouth, praise, glory, truth, encouragement, edification, Now remember how we started off. Satan's goal is to do what? Take something good, twist it and turn it around. God gave us our, and God gave us, are you thankful for your mouth? Are you thankful for your tongue? Are you thankful for the lips that God has given to you to do the different sensory things that he's given? I praise the Lord that God has given us ability to communicate, an ability to taste, ability to do whatever it is with our tongues and our mouths and our lips. God has given that to us as a gift. But Satan's goal is to take every good thing that God gave and to try to turn it around for something bad. Turn it into a lie. Now back in James chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 6. I want you to see, I told you that Satan's goal is to turn it around. God gave us our mouths and our tongues and our lips. That's a gift from God. But I want you to notice the twisted view that Satan has, and notice what is said at the end of verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And I notice the next set of words. And it is set on fire of hell. Our tongues are set on fire from where? Hell. Now let me submit this very important truth to you. Everyone listen to this. When we will not or do not use our tongues in the way in which God is intended for us to do in his purpose, we are participating in the ministry, the destructive ministry of Satan and hell. It's devilish. In fact, later on in James chapter 3, he even refers to that. Notice in verse 15, there's a wisdom that is coming here, and it's the person that uses the tongue wrong. He talks about meekness of wisdom. He talks about a person that's going to withhold what they think they ought to be able to do with their tongues. There's a person that's meek, and they're gonna withhold their tongue, and there's a person that's going to just say what they want to say. And he says, and it's, you know, bitter envyings. It's really what it amounts to is making somebody else look bad so that I can look better. That is where we get in trouble with our tongue so many times. We say something about somebody else in order that we look better. And what does he say there in verse 15? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and, you say it with me, devilish. Brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you that when we use our tongues in an opposite way in which God intended for us to use it, it is out of the pit of hell. And I believe that Satan absolutely loves it. It's the thing that destroys families. A quick tongue. It's the thing that destroys churches. The sharp tongue. It's the thing that will destroy our already wicked world. It's the tongue. Isn't it true? What people say is a big deal. Number two, so we look at the purpose. I want us to look at the presumption, because we come to this table with things that we just assume or presume. Look at verse 5 of James chapter 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member. He ends the verse, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We look at the tongue, we look at our lips, we look at our mouths, and we say, they're such a small thing. Let me interpret that into our everyday life. We like to think that what we say to somebody is not that big of a deal. We come into this table, at the table, thinking that our tongue is pretty little. And we look at James chapter 3 and say, yeah, it seems to be a small thing, right? The tongue is a very little thing. You know, the bridle, the bit in the horse's mouth. If you have ever ridden horses, you know what a bit is. It's just a small piece of metal that goes in the mouth and in the back of the jaw on a horse. It's a little thing, and a horse is big and muscular. It really can do whatever it wants to. Yet, it's amazing how a bit in a horse's mouth will turn that horse. I am absolutely amazed when I look at boats and boats with that, you know, that very small, you know, rudder or whatever it was to turn. Have you ever been amazed at that? I have. You know, you think of this powerful engine and it, you know, and you know, I like to look at some of these speedboats that go and you look at some of the propellers that are on these things and they're actually kind of small. You know, and that motor will turn like this. And it's enough to take a boat and just whip it right around. So you look at the rudder or this, you know, that part. But in any case, in turning around this, or what a small thing, but yet drastic effects from a small thing. And then the third comparison there is a fire. You know, we look at a match and we say, a match can't do anything. But all of you know that a little match can set the world on fire. A spark can destroy thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres. A spark. A small thing. Oh, but our tongues are such a small thing. The thing that I said, that wasn't that big of a deal. They can't take it that way. It's just something little that I said. It's only a word. Probably some of the younger children would never have heard this phrase because it seems like it was an older phrase, but bricks and stones may break my bones. And how does the end go? Oh, but words. They'll never hurt me, right? Is that true? Let me ask any one of you in this room, is any one of you think that that's true, that words can't hurt us? Every one of us has been hurt by something that somebody else said. Every one of us. Oh, it is a big deal. You know, the deception is that our tongues, the words that we say to other people, they're such a small thing and we think that people can take it. They know that I'm joking. I want to encourage you to beware of what your tongue says. You might think that it's little. You might think that you're just joking. You might think that it's not a big deal. But you don't know how in the world somebody's going to take what you say. You just quickly say something and you don't know that that person drives home crying because they took what you said. No, we can be too offended. And we need to be very careful with being offended at what somebody says. But we're not talking about that tonight. God's word says that no matter how little it seems, it's a big deal what comes out of your mouth. Folks, I want to tell you something. You have no idea how you can hurt people by what little things that you say. As a pastor of this church, I am made aware. Somebody will come to me and say, Pastor, so-and-so said this, and you can see the hurt in their face. I want to tell you something. You need to be careful. I'm telling you from first-hand experience that right here in our church, there are things that people right here say that other people wrestle with it for years later. I've seen it happen. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. You see, when we allow our tongues to be loose, our lips to be loose, we are ministers of the devil. This is coming from hell. It's hell that's setting us, our tongues on fire. Because the devil knows that a little word can make a huge, huge, huge forest fire. We need to be careful. So we need to be careful when we make this presumption, this believe this deception that it's just a little thing. We need to be so careful what we say with our tongues. You know, most people don't even know that they're destructive with their tongues. I believe that most people say things and they don't. You know, if I were to ask you, how many of you, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, But if I were to say, how many of you think you have a problem with being destructive with your tongue? My guess is not many of you would raise your hand, even if no one else could see it. Even if you were the only one to know. My guess is there would be a number of you, I don't think I have that problem. And there lies the deception. Every one of us, when we speak a word, has a high percentage of opportunity to hurt somebody else. And that's the way we need to understand it. In fact, if you go to the first verse of the chapter, what does it say? If I could put it in my own language, you better be careful about how many words you say, because the more words you say, the more likely it is you're going to be hurtful. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. He's saying the more every word extra that we speak, the more chance is that we are going to hurt somebody. Now, I'm not telling you you ought not ever say anything, but you better be careful when you open your mouth. We teach our children and our young boys that just, there's something about a young boy that loves to take a match and light it on fire. And we tell them what? Be careful, because that match is dangerous. You know, and the boys think, how big of a deal is this? You know, every time a match is lit, strike a match, there's potential for danger, isn't there? Adults, should the children be careful with matches? They ought to be careful with matches. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. Every time a match is struck, be careful. Do you get the analogy? Every time you open your mouth, you better be very careful. Why? Because it is dangerous. Satan is waiting. It's almost as if he's waiting by the door. Our mouths are shut. And Satan can anticipate us, you know, the muscles inside of our jaw starting to open up that mouth. And Satan's just ready to jump in there and twist the truth. And if he can influence us in any way so that we say something that will hurt somebody else, he is happy. I'm trying to paint a picture here so that you see that this is big stuff. This is important stuff. Opening our mouths is a big deal. That's why James starts right off this chapter with, you better be careful. You better be careful if you've been given the responsibility to open your mouth, because the more you say, the more opportunity you are to get in trouble. Comments on people's clothes, you say, come on, do people got to be so touchy? You better be careful. You might think it's a little thing, but you might comment on somebody's tie that they wore and say, where'd you get that? You know, you might hurt that person, and you might not think that that's a big deal, but people get hurt over that. Now, I'm not saying it's right to, by the way, if somebody tells you, your tie looks a little funny or something, don't get offended. But for everyone else in this room, you better be careful at what you say. Comments on clothing, comments on the way God made people. I want to tell you, you need to be careful about making fun of somebody the way God made them. Some people that God has made to be a less of stature, you have no idea that maybe that's a sore point. It's hard in their life. Some people God made taller. And you might think that they just love that. But you never know. Could be a difficult thing in their life. Somebody that's maybe a little bit more slight, you better be careful, because it could be a difficult thing in their life. On and on it goes. And you might say, well, they were laughing too. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people laughing on the outside that are not laughing on the inside. Right? James is telling us here, you better be careful what you say. Most of you don't even know that you have a problem with it, but I see that there are people getting hurt at Faith Bible Church because of what we say. Be careful. Comments on how people do things. Do you realize that just because you do certain things one way does not mean that they're right? And even if they were, God's given everybody liberty to do things the way they think that God wants them to do it. Be careful to be critical of the things you say and how they do it. Comments on anything under the sun, be careful. Again, I read the verse in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue was made to bring life. This verse implies that we can use the tongue for death. That would be the goal of Satan. Satan wants you to be using your tongues for death. So we look at the purpose, we look at the presumption about it. It's a small thing. Let's look at the product. What can happen when we use our tongue in a wrong way? We already saw in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. You know, a little thing can mess up the whole batch. Isn't it true? Fruit, vegetables. You ever put one little thing in the whole batch and the next day you woke up and it was all bad? It's like our tongues. You know, we can say, well, everything else in my life is okay. My tongue, I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit witty. I'm a little bit, you know, I'm one to speak my mind. We already looked at that. And that's a dangerous thing to speak our minds. This little tongue here can ruin everything. In your life and in other people's lives, in our church. There have been churches that have been devastated because loose tongues. Saying things, gossiping, not telling the truth, spreading lies, spreading rumors, sowing discord among the brethren. Notice verse 8 though. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. And this phrase is incredible. Full of deadly poison. Now, he didn't say a certain type of a person's tongue. No, he says that our tongues are full of deadly poison. I want you to think just for a moment. I want you to think about your own very tongue that's sitting inside of your mouth right now. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that your tongue is full of deadly poison. I don't know how many of you like snakes. I don't like snakes, but I'm not as fearful as some people are. I know some people just, the thought of a snake is horrible. But there's a change, you know, when you talk about a water snake or some little snake that you might find outside of your house that's not very dangerous. There's a change when you go from that to something that's got poison, you know, inside of their mouths. You know, and that change is not just something that we're scared of, that they're going to crawl, you know, here or where there and scare me. But now it's, I don't want to be around that thing because if they bite me, there's dangerous. Growing up in Wyoming, we had rattlesnakes around. It wasn't right around our ranch, but not too far out. There were rattlesnakes out there, and you needed to be careful. In the oil field, we went out, and on a daily basis, we would drive, and we would drive down south, and we knew that there was rattlesnakes out there, and my boss told me, you better, if you see a rattlesnake, you better do everything that you can to kill that snake, because if you don't, the next guy that's there, it might get them. And the certain location that we went to was probably about an hour from any sort of medical attention where we could get to. And if a rattler bit us at the right spot, at the wrong time to get us in, to get things, could be very devastating. And so my responsibility as a pumper in the oil field was to make sure that I got those. This is kind of a scary task. And there were many that I had to kill. And there were a few that got away. We understood that they were deadly. We understood that one bite could be very bad. And we had to be very careful to eliminate it because there was potential in one of those snakes to do some great damage. It was a fact in our minds that that snake is an enemy. That thing right there will get us, and we've got to take care of it, folks. God teaches us here that our tongues are filled with deadly poison. It's a fact. You might as well start thinking of your mouth that way. We are just like some of those rattlesnakes that are out there. And if we won't learn to control our mouths, we're going to infect somebody. We're going to hurt somebody. Full of deadly poison. What is going to happen when I'm not guarding my tongue? What's going to happen when I'm not careful with a match? He says, a great matter. He doesn't say it's a little thing. He doesn't say, well, it will, you know, just make sure you say you're sorry. No, he says, this is a great matter. Those are God's words, folks. Did you hear that? Not being careful with your poisonous tongue is a great matter. And what happens when we use our tongues in a way in which God never intended? You know, some folks are offended, and it's very hard to win back an offended brother. In fact, the Bible tells us that a brother offended. Very difficult to win and earn that respect and that relationship, that fellowship back. You know, and it's not very hard to offend, is it? You quickly just say something dumb. And sometimes we even say, oh, why did I say that? But I'll tell you what, getting them back might be a very difficult thing. Some folks stop coming because of what we say. I want to tell you something. We need to be very careful when we come into this church building of what we say. How dreadful it would be that we would use our tongues and our mouths to say something and somebody would be hurt, somebody would be influenced and never show themselves through our doors again because of what somebody said. Brothers and sisters, be very careful with what you say. Some folks outright just give up because of what somebody says. I know people that have stopped coming altogether, that give up on God because somebody made a smart comment to them at church. And it was said, if that's the way that a Christian is going to talk and treat other people, then I want no part of it. It's a very hurtful thing. You can say all you want to, that words will never hurt you. It is not true of any of us. The results can be devastating, both for them, but also for you. Turn with me as we close to Mark chapter 9. I said close. I still have a little bit more here. Closing thoughts anyway. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 42. The results can be devastating, both for them and also for you. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, these are God's children, one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Did you hear that? Every idle word. Every idle word. Isn't that's big, isn't it? You ever just said something under your breath? You just said a few little things you don't think anybody heard you. Every. Good, I'm glad they didn't hear that. God did. Proverbs 21:23, but whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Your own soul. Brothers and sisters, it not only hurts other people, but it will hurt you to have a loose tongue. God says right here, if you will keep your tongue, if you will learn to discipline your tongue, if you learn to close your mouth, you will keep your soul from trouble. You know, it is time that we learn to control our mouths and saying too many things. In fact, number four, we ought to make sure we practice the right thing. Let me give these to you quick. Number one, prayer. We need to pray that God would help us. Psalm 141, verse 3 says what? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Brothers and sisters, we ought to say that every single day. You know what? I tell you what. If we understand that our tongues are full of poison, if we understand that our tongues are just like a little match, if we understand that our tongues are a big deal, if we understand that, then every day we ought to say, God, you keep this mouth shut so I don't say something stupid and offend somebody. We need to be very, very, very careful. It starts with prayer. I want to encourage every one of you, wake up every day and say that prayer. Every day. And you might want to say it and pray it many times through the day. God, set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Memorize it. Memorize that verse. Prayer, purpose is second of all purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, what ought to be the rule? Do all to the glory of God. Listen, everything that comes out of your mouth ought to be honoring and glorifying God. That will eliminate our tongues from saying anything that's going to be hurtful to somebody else. If God's not honored and glorified through it, we ought not say it. Did you hear that? If God is not honored and glorified through what we say, you ought not say it. You know, the kids here, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Adults, listen, if it's wrong, if it's not honoring and glorifying to God, then don't open your mouth and say it. You ever heard somebody say, I really shouldn't say this, but? I'll tell you what, then don't say it. Please don't say it. If you ought not say it, if God doesn't get glory, then don't say it. So there's prayer. We need to pray. We need to have a purpose. Everything to God's glory. We need to have a plan. Romans 14:19 is our plan. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things wherewith one may edify one another. God, would you please set a watch before my mouth? Keep the door of my lips. My purpose is that everything, in everything that I say and do, God gets honor and glory. My plan is that I want to not only glorify God, but that I want to make sure that what I say not only glorifies God, that lifts up my brother or sister. And if it's not going to be lifted up, even if it's neutral, then don't say it. We're a group of people that give a lot of neutral out to it. It's a waste of time. We need to start giving out only things. There needs to be some... You ought to be a person that is referred to as, when they open their mouths, I listen. Because what's about to come out is something from God, something good. Last time I preached on this passage, I used a person as an illustration. And it's safe because he's not here, and that's my father. My dad doesn't say many words, but I don't remember too many times when my dad said something that he had to apologize for. You see, there's wisdom in James chapter 3 and verse 1. Be careful at going for the positions of having to talk too much. Brothers and sisters, be careful opening your mouth. God gave you a tongue and a mouth and lips. To honor and glorify Him, to tell the truth, to lift up other people. That's why you have it. And if you're going to use it in the wrong way, then God's opinion of this maybe ought not have it. Let's be very, very careful. Oh, folks, so devastating, so dangerous. Let's be careful with our tongues. Father, tonight we were going to be looking at In Step with Jesus, and you changed some things around. Lord, Only you know all who needed to hear this message. But Lord, I'm asking that you have already done a good work in somebody's life, maybe many people's lives. Lord, if there are people, and I know there are, we all have this problem, but Lord, if we as people have this problem of opening our mouths, Lord, I pray that we would begin to go to you and ask you to help us and get victory over this, having a purpose and a plan. Lord, please help us. We need thee every hour. Oh, my tongue gets me in trouble. Oh, these folks, their tongues get them in trouble. Oh, God, we need you. Oh, we need you every hour. We need you. Lord, would you help us? Lord, help us in this area. And God, I'm asking if there are people this evening that have been convicted and you have worked in their hearts, Lord, I pray that we would take action tonight and not just be a hearer, but go on and not a doer. Lord, I pray that we'd get it right and we'd confess it to you, get it right. We know that you are quick to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can walk out of this room as a righteous individual, doing good things with our lips, having turned that wickedness back into the tongue and mouths and lips that you intended us to have, God. And I pray that we'd leave this doing and fulfilling your plan, your will, bringing honor and glory to you, speaking the truth, edifying one another. Lord, help us to get it right this evening, that we may be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.